Hello and welcome to episode 106 of the Drive the Green podcast. I'm your host, Maddie B, joined once again by Bro and Ellen Harf. In this episode, we are going to recap our weeks. We're going to recap quarantine-itis. I don't know. COVID has put us underground. We're locked up. The boys are social distancing right now. We are, I guess, 6 feet, 2 meters away from each other.
Ish, yep.
Jared Dutois is joining us this week.
Mr. 59,
fellow Canadian. And then we're going to get in, after Jared, we're going to get into the news from around the world this week. And then, for those of you that follow us on social media, we've launched the Sask Civil War, Sask Golf Courses Civil War bracket on Twitter. And we're going to recap some of the early findings of that, and again next week and the week after that, to essentially crown the best golf course in Saskatchewan, voted by the fans.
The masses.
Who knows when we're ever going to get to play these courses, but
that's here nor there.
For about 7 minutes from now. Before we get into it, though, we want to thank our sponsor, Player Golf, PLYRGolf.com. Use the promo code DRIVETHEGREEN for 30% off your order. Big things happening, Drive the Golf. Oh, wow. Bad Player Golf.
Bag of golf almost.
So Player Golf has just recently launched their
new website.
New website starts on April 1st. But right now, if you follow them on social media, they're launching, I think, sneak peeks of products throughout this next week or so. And then they're going to launch the new website, and then you can start to buy all their shit.
Yeah, that's good. Just keep checking off. I'll take one of those.
30% off your order. Drive the Green. Promo code. But yeah, we're into, like, it's... My brain stopped working, as you can obviously tell early on, with this speech impediment I'm dealing with.
Yeah.
I've only had a drink and a half, but I'm just in...
La La Land.
Yeah, I'm just a downer mode.
Let's get the right count now. Right off the hop.
Oh, the count? I think I was at, what, two? No, last week I fell off the wagon, didn't I? I can't remember.
Yeah.
I sure hope you've still been keeping track.
Of course. Okay. I just got to find it on my phone.
Sounds a little sketchy.
Well, that's where I always look, is on my phone. New Year, same me. Here it is. So, yeah, as of the 10th, what are we?
We're the 23rd?
Yeah, so the 10th was the last. Oh, boy, the 10th was the last one I put in.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
No, but I have it.
Oh, okay.
Because I remember last time.
Yeah, sure.
Yes. So it was 2, 3, 4, Thursday, Friday, Saturday this week. 2, 3, 4.
But what about
6,
last?
10.
Yeah.
No. 2, 3. That's 7.
That's 9.
That's 9. Yep. That's 9. And the week before, remember I had 10 on that Saturday.
Oh, that's right, too. Yeah.
Yeah, I had 10 at the. Yeah, it was bad. So carry the 4. I think we're at about 20 in 23 days.
In March?
Yeah.
Okay.
Which puts me at 117 for the year. So we're getting there. I might have forgot to audit my list prior to starting this pod.
You didn't have any drinks this last weekend?
This past one?
Yeah, he said 2, 3, 4.
2, 3, 4.
Oh, right.
Yeah. I just can't remember the weekend before, but remember I had the 10.
Yeah.
I think it was 10 and 10. But anyway. We're not as crazy, but since this quarantine, it's not a quarantine, it's social distancing. My family's home now, kids are out of school. It's like between 1 and 2 to maybe 3 every other day.
That's pretty good.
Just because had one with supper last night.
Just because.
Yeah, well, wake up an hour later because I'm working from home. It's working in my basement. Okay, I'll just have a beer. I don't have to wake up at 6 o'clock tomorrow morning. It's now seven.
I'm a big beer over supper kind of guy.
Yeah, just always like they're good.
Why? Like why?
Pair it up, you know, a little darker beer with some certain things, and yeah, tastes good.
I'm a little bit rattled that I didn't do
one
the
drink.
Count.
Like a nice red wine with a steak kind of thing.
Yep, we had roast beef on Sunday. We had some red wine, that kind of thing.
If you get it,
real aristocrat over there.
Yeah, and then
some people love it.
Then once the kids are in bed, then that's when the dope comes out. pretty
a lot of it, a lot of
standard
it,
stuff, you know?
A lot of it lately.
Yeah. Nice little Tuesday.
Other than that, I mean, that's pretty much the, we might have to put the week segment on hold here for a little bit because there ain't much happening. You sit at home, you wake up, you're at home, you go to bed.
I said I was going to start jogging last week. Didn't happen.
Didn't happen?
No.
Just pushed it back a week?
Yeah. Went for one walk, though.
Well, it is getting nicer out. Today was plus 11 Celsius. Finally hit a golf ball. You guys haven't hit one yet this year, though, hey? Outside?
Nope.
Not outside, no.
Yeah, so finally hit an outdoor golf ball today. It was nice.
Yep.
But
you only hit one?
No, I hit about 14.
Oh.
Did you go get them?
Yes. So there's a field outside my house. Hit him. Little man hits five or six. He picks his up. I go hit my get my three and come back. But yeah, it's Mother Nature's decided to grace us with plus two tomorrow and 70K winds.
Yep.
And might even be a chance of snow. So we got one
good
day.
We need that snow.
We got one.
Start of April looks good, though. Real good.
Start of April looks really good.
For the course to open.
But I have no idea. We have no idea what's going to happen with this and if our course is even going to be open.
So my week, I didn't do much. I've just been crushing shows. Like,
Curb.
I'm crushing TV, B99. Like, top five TV crushers in the world right now.
Yeah?
I believe it.
Like, don't have to get up early.
What's that one you keep saying to watch?
Rocket Man.
Rocket Man. Hunters.
Hunters? Yeah. Yeah.
That's a must watch. It's unbelievable. And then I found this, saw a Twitter ad for the new season of Dark Side of the Ring Wrestling.
Oh, and comes yes. Comes out tomorrow. Is that on Amazon Prime?
I don't know. It's Vice show.
I think it's on
but
Amazon
But it comes
Prime.
Out tomorrow, and they're doing the whole Chris Benoit story.
Ooh,
the so Crippler.
Exactly. But, so I crushed the whole first season yesterday.
Oh,
seven episodes.
I thought you said it are... Oh, the new one's
the new
out.
Season two comes out tomorrow.
Who was the first one?
There was, like, the Von Erich family and Macho Man Randy Savage, Fabulous Moolah, just a couple, like, older people.
Okay.
But still, like...
Fabulous Moolah?
Yeah, she's, like, the first woman.
Oh, it's a woman?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Come
well,
on.
I can't
like,
do it with this guy over here.
Like, he's just pretending now. He knows
I
this
did not
stuff.
Know that.
He knows this stuff.
I was super proud of knowing Crippler, actually. But, yeah,
the
I
Crippler
have no
crossface.
Idea. I have no idea who Moolah is.
The Fabulous Moolah.
Yeah, she's anyways. In WWE for a long time. She's that old broad in WWE with the other old broad that was always out.
I know Mae Young. Is
yeah,
that the same person?
Fabulous Moolah is the one with the red hair.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Mae Young the one that Randy Orton RKO'd in the middle of the ring.
They could take
I'm sure they've taken a stunner or two in their days, too.
Oh, Mae Young took a powerbomb through a table.
Yeah. By Bubba Ray Dudley.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So, yeah, you're the top five in the world, you figure, hey?
Crushing TV, absolutely.
You might be top five in the world for most wrestling watched, too.
No.
That's
not even close.
That's not. On that note, though, WWE's making their subscription free. Did you hear that?
Yeah. Wow.
You already got it.
Save me a couple bucks, I guess.
Yeah. Cancel it until it's not free anymore.
Won't you be watching NBA Game Time, though, or Game Pass, though?
What's that?
For free now.
What's that? NBA Game Pass is free. Just watch old games.
Yeah. Oh, that was going to be my idea segment. Someone should come up with a streaming service where it's just every sports game ever.
That's ever played.
Yeah.
Well,
like you can watch hockey.
They're
but in one spot, I'm saying.
Every game ever?
Well, like...
The good ones?
Not the good ones. Like, you could go watch the Habs versus Columbus in, like, 96 or something, if you want.
Yeah, so
that's a
every
big
game
fucking
ever.
Database, yeah. though.
And, like, yeah, how are they going to... How do you get all those tapes onto streaming
They
got to
have it. Someone's got to have it.
Yeah, there's
definitely... Get the nerds on it, yeah. Instead of scouring Big Brother live feeds for nipple shots, get them on... Get
Same
them on
the
sports.
I can't. If I couldn't talk before we started this, I'm certainly not going to be able to talk by the end of it.
But yeah, get the nerds on it. They got something to do.
Bro, how was your week?
I already talked about my week. Jogging didn't happen.
Oh, that was it, hey?
I'm useless.
Walk.
I suck.
That was it. Well, let's get straight into our quarantine questions.
Yeah, let's do it.
So we ran a little bit of a Twitter poll, if you want to call that. I don't know. Just ask for some thoughts. But we got some of our own plus some more here. Just some quarantine-related questions.
Well, before we get into this, I got to do my rant because okay. It doesn't really fit anywhere else. And it's kind of quarantine-related, so it's this.
Yeah.
Great.
This is driving me insane. So I'm all for, like, the stay home. Like, that's smart.
Mm-hmm.
But, and now Instagram has that little, like, sticker that says stay home that you can put on all your posts.
Yes.
And that's fine. Like, I get it if you have a following and you're trying to influence people, like, you're an influencer, social media influencer. But what drives me insane is, like, the people you know who have, like, 28 followers that, like, 15 of them are their family. And they're just putting the stay home on their posts. Like, everyone you know, like, you could just phone this person and tell them to stay home. Like, you don't have to put this stay home like you're some saint trying to convince the world to stay home. Like, I'm sorry. That's not carrying much water to me. Like, you're not influencing anyone else. No one's seeing your post that's going to say stay home other than your mother and your grandma who's maybe following it to see your kids.
I have noticed it a lot. I mean, I get it more, you're right, for the people that have lots of the influencers, right? But yeah, the people that I know that I've seen it on there, like, yeah, I'm staying home, they're staying home, all of the people that they're posting this for are already staying
home. You know what's going to carry more weight there? You just pick up the phone and be like, hey, you staying home?
Hey, just checking to make sure you're
just
home.
Just checking home, you staying home. Like, oh, wait, Bill from down the street that I follow put stay home. Guess I better not go out today. Like,
instead of sending you up texts, just say you home.
Yeah, exactly.
You up.
Yeah.
You home? On that point, though, one thing I have found now with this, you know, being at home a lot more and wanting to actually talk to someone, like actually FaceTiming, like for me, never really was a big FaceTimer. Didn't really get it. Didn't really, like, either talk on the phone or you text. Like, that's it. But now with it, like, I'm like 7 years behind on this. A lot of people are. As you start to, even just work related, like a lot of people now you have to call, and if you want to talk to them at work, I'll video chat them. This is great. I feel like a complete idiot admitting to the fact that I didn't buy into it way earlier.
I thought you were going to say it was great for friends. I wouldn't say it's great for work.
Well,
who cares?
Well, I did one today where everyone video chatted. Yeah, I just turned my camera off because, like,
yeah,
fuck
it's
them,
just your face there. Like, you're not.
Yeah, but it
just
anything. It carries more weight, I feel.
Plus, like, you're on the phone, you want to, like, pick your nose a little bit. Now you can't do that.
Yeah, that's true. I'm a big nose picker on the phone.
You're a big nose picker in general.
Yeah, you've noticed, eh? I'll try to get one or two in during the pod, but I guess you noticed. That is good. That is a good rant, though, Harf. Okay, we got to get into this question. So first one we got here is, which PGA player would you most want to be quarantined with?
Who's going first?
I'll go first. I don't really have whole lot to do here. I wanted to say Rory because if you saw that video of him absolutely drenched, because a lot of guys are doing this Peloton thing now. Billy Horschel, I think, kind of started it. Rory's into it. Lots of guys are doing this Peloton, and Rory was absolutely dripping with sweat. I mean, he is married now, so probably not as, like, laid back. I'm married. I don't.
Yeah, but we're imagining it's just the two of
us. Just the two of us. I think I'd want to do with Rory. I'd like to see him working out. Like,
get a little lean on.
I would like to work out with him. Is that? But
Here's my.
But he's putting in the work, and I think I could build off of Rory.
Here's my little bone to pick with that. So he's Rory McIlroy. You're Matty Ballgame. Who do you think's wiping up all that sweat? It ain't him. And you're the only two there. So
I think if you live with him and you're quarantined with him, he'd be a nicer guy and be like, you know what, I got this. I don't think he's that big of a
dick. But his cleaning lady's no longer there, so again.
Good point.
Yeah, I think you'd end up being
a little bit of a bee.
Yeah. That's, you know where I'm going.
Yeah. Harv, what do you got?
Well, I had two for two very different reasons. First guy, Jimmy Walker.
I had him on my list.
No way.
For the meats. Yeah.
For the meats. For the meats, but also for the Lyme disease. Because you know what? Because you know he's going to have to take a nap. So he's going to cook you all this food, and then he's probably got to go lay down, and I just get to live in his house, just having free reign.
Yep, but the meats. First and foremost, the meats.
Grilling, yep.
And he's a big hunter, too, so he could provide for you if needed.
Yes, exactly.
Yep.
Second one, Zach Johnson. Also, big meat guy. He was posting today he had a big smoker out doing ribs.
Okay.
Good. Second main reason, big God guy. So if this truly is the end of the world.
Oh, no. Here we go.
I'm in tight with this guy.
Oh, boy. Next.
Bro, wow. Now we're saved.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
I feel like you're gonna you'd end up. I'm not gonna touch that. You'd end up being like James Franco in This Is the End when he's like halfway up the beam and then he just like is like bragging and like giving everyone the finger and then he just falls down.
At least I got a shot. At least I got a shot.
Get halfway up for sure. Yeah.
He did get halfway up. Who you got?
I got my guy Leishman, of course, and then I said Pepperell on Twitter, but Van Ruyen might be a good one. Guitar action.
Yeah, EVR.
And then probably my main pick would be Henrik Stenson.
Why? Any reason?
He's like the funniest guy on tour. Low key, funniest guy on tour. Awesome guy.
Do you have any examples?
No, don't need to provide them. Okay, everyone knows. Noted.
Everyone knows.
Except for you guys, apparently.
All right. pretty straightforward. Would you rather golf with pins or golf with friends?
I'd rather golf with friends. Like for an entire summer, you're talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd rather.
I mean, we could even do it in one round.
I'd rather play without pins for a whole summer than without friends. I like playing by myself, but I couldn't do it all summer.
Yeah, I'm a big talker, so I would probably need no pins. But at the same time, I really would like those pins in there.
I like
those pins. But I'm gonna say no friends.
But you don't. I mean, we don't hit a lot of gears anyway.
This is easy. Yeah. You're picking the pins. Who cares about playing with friends?
Yeah. Well. I think a lot of people have got a pretty good gauge on you right now and the amount of friends you got.
Yeah, it's like one.
Yeah. And if he's busy, I'm going by myself anyway.
Exactly.
All right. What's your approximate first round of the year date? This is for, not necessarily Saskatchewan people, but anyone in Canada, really.
Well, they're shutting down golf courses in like UK and stuff too.
Well, no, I understand, but some of our American listeners have already golfed this year.
Yeah,
but let's say
when's your next round?
Yeah. Potentially.
I said June. I think. Unfortunately, I don't know why, but that's just my gut feeling. Yeah. As stupid as that is, because there's lots of things you can do, precautions you can take, protocols you can set.
I mean, golf is the definition of social distancing.
That's what I said today. That's what it is.
Like, I get PGA Tour events being canceled, but
yeah.
For
a regular round of golf, there's e-transfers. You can still have a marshal or a starter. They don't have to touch anyone. They can sit in a plexiglass box at the first tee.
Probably the safest place in the city.
Yeah.
Yes. E-transfer your funds. Starter's still there. Once you're off, you don't even need carts. Really? You don't need carts. Push carts, your own push cart. If you don't have a push cart, you have to carry your bag. You put pool noodles in the cups so you don't have to touch the pin.
You could
pull your ball out.
Yeah. I mean, everyone bring an oven mitt to pull the pin out.
Yeah. Like. Anything. It is, and you don't even have to be near that person ever.
Yeah.
That you're golfing with.
Like, not even an oven mitt. Like, just buy a box of latex gloves and throw it out after every hole.
Yeah. I just like the novelty.
I'm very curious to find out.
Then you put it on your driver after.
Yeah. I'm curious to find out if they don't make it mandatory to close, how many golf courses will still open? I would think like 80 to 90% of them.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I think they'd have to. Like, if they're not mandated, lots of those courses are going under.
I think that there is going to be some courses that don't open. They're just not going to do it.
Losers.
Yeah, well, I mean, I just don't think that there's courses that actually don't want to be part of the quote-unquote spread or problem.
Losers.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
You're on Team Harv tonight.
Yeah.
So I still think it's going to be May 1st when I'm playing my first round.
Yeah, I'd love that.
I think I'd probably take May 1st. What's that, 5 weeks from now?
Yep.
Yeah. If you told me last week or 3 days ago that I could golf in 5 weeks, I'd take it for sure. Yeah. All right. This one was a little bit bigger on... I was surprised by the answers of this one. Would you still buy a membership if you had to walk every round? Pretty much everyone on Twitter except for me said yes. I just feel that one of the reasons why I get a membership is that I can just, it's shitty out, or I don't know if I'm going to get a full round in, or it's twilight and I just want to go play. I can show up. I don't have to pay. I hop in a cart and I go. If you pay, if you have to walk, you make a lot different decisions on when you're going to go and how you're going to, how fast you're going to play, because that plays all of it into it. I just don't think I'd get enough rounds in because I wouldn't make that decision enough.
You just have to plan it out better and not play in rainy weather or twilight, really.
Like, yeah, and I do think that people aren't us and have the abilities that we do at our course of just kind of show and go.
Yeah.
I'm buying one of those surfboards.
You did tag them in that today,
yeah,
didn't
absolutely.
You?
Yeah, absolutely. They're only $6,500. You can put them on a lease.
Did they reach out? They didn't reach out to you, though.
No, they didn't. I was looking for a little sponsorship, maybe. Like, they
just
realized,
test one out.
They realize this pod's blowing up, but yeah, you get one of those. They're faster than a cart anyways because you're going to your own ball.
Oh, I think they're fantastic ideas.
I mean, the motorcycle ones would be even better where you like ride your bag and it's like a bike.
And I mean, technically, if it is your own cart, you could still have carts. If you own a cart,
even if
fine.
I couldn't, like I imagine it comes apart, like the handlebar probably comes off. You just throw it in the back of the truck and then you're gone.
Revenue opportunity for golf courses, if they don't allow carts, is to rent out their own carts for the entire year.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a great idea.
Absolutely.
Yes.
It's like, oh, yeah, public can't have carts, but if you have a membership, you can rent one of ours for the entire
and
year.
You slap have to a take, number on it.
And you have to take care of it, and if it gets dinged up, you got to buy it at the end of the year. Yeah.
Get some gas on it. You got to put your own gas in.
Yep.
I was just thinking, if me and you were playing together, Harv, we're
not
definitely
a good idea.
We're definitely faster walking than we are in a cart.
Yes.
Yep.
Because we're constantly...
You can only zigzag so many times.
We're going the opposite way every single time.
I mean, unless we park in the middle of the fairway and then just
walk. That's
what
you'd have to do. Drive to the middle, get out, grab two clubs. But that's what we're saying anyways. Like, even if our course does open and they're only like one cart for four guys, one guy drives, the other three grab the clubs they think they need, and you just go.
Yeah, but then you're all crammed in the cart.
All of your clubs are crammed there. I don't know.
You could fit four on the back. Like, you just weave.
No, but I just mean like, that's kind of the point of it, is you don't want guys always in the same area. You might touch the other guys' clubs or...
I mean, I would just just carry my bag.
I'm not touching that one. That's stupid, but move on.
What's your favorite COVID-related golf adjustment? So we've had, we got what? We got the pool noodles.
There's discs now in the bottom of the cups.
Discs, potentially, if they don't have a pool noodle. What are some other things that they're doing?
I'm a big fan of the longer time between tee times because I don't like having guys behind me or in front of me.
Up your ass anyway. Yeah.
I mean, probably catching them anyways, but
yeah,
20 minutes, like,
that's plenty.
15 would even be
15 is probably fine.
Plenty.
Yeah,
10 might even
I can't even think of some of the other ones that they've
done. Rakes.
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, the biggest one.
We've been talking about this for
years,
decades.
No, bunkers should not be raked ever.
You do not need a rake in a bunker.
You give
not
it the foot. You give it the foot wipe, and that's it. It's supposed to be a penalty area.
Flatten out the marks your feet made, and that's it.
Yeah, that's it. It is a penalty area. It's a great point.
Like, right now, guys hit in the bunker on the PGA Tour, they give zero shits.
They're happy.
They know now I can spin it from 180 where I couldn't.
Like, greenside, too. Like, way happier being in the bunker.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. They talk about it all the time.
Yeah.
He's happy that he hit it in there. Not that difficult of a shot.
Even if it's plugged, it's almost better than the rough.
Well, even still, if you're in a foot, if someone didn't happen to, someone was a dick and they didn't flatten out their footmark, then you can lift in place.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It's like, oh, if this guy didn't fix it, I'm just going to move it over.
Exactly. And then
it's
still
the same as if a guy didn't rake it. Yeah. Because you're still moving it anyway. So just, what do you need to rake for? And rakes hurt and they help. So they're probably 50-50.
They always hurt me. They're always stopping my ball.
All the rakes are against Bronel every time. But yeah, like, there is no need for rakes.
Yeah, and all the way up to the PGA Tour, like, you know they're going to flatten it out better because they don't want to get into a situation where someone doesn't flatten it out for them.
And even further
flatten
to that,
flatten the curve, man.
Yeah. Nice, good tie-in. Not bad. Mm-hmm. Further to that, you could even just let it go, and if you really want to make it a penalty area, start to grow some of them out. Let the weeds run rampant in there and get those style in
stupid.
There.
That's stupid. That's
the
bad.
Next.
No, I like this.
Yeah. Bronald's going to love this one because he said yes. I think it was Kevin Na that was tweeted it. Did you ever think about throwing a tournament to give Phil a Grand Slam?
Yeah, it was a hypothetical, and they said, would you ever throw the U.S. Open if you were in the final group with Phil for him to get the Grand Slam?
And Kevin Na said, hell no.
Hell no.
Brunel said yes.
Yeah, because I'm just me.
You're a Phil
guy. That's the dumbest thing you've ever said on this pod.
He didn't say it on the pod yet. We're trying to get him to say it.
Just say it. Just say yes. Yeah. Just say yes. It's stupid.
If it's Phil, then yeah. If it's anyone else, fuck that.
Still an idiot.
You're not doing it. If Phil Mickelson came up to me in the final group, we're tied on 18, he said, you know what?
I'll give you $10 million.
I'm still not doing it. Yeah. Fuck that.
He thought about it, though. He thought you were going to say one.
He was prepared to say,
I think five or less, I think he was actually going to say.
I was going to say, Phil was going to come up to me like, listen, you get second place prize money and my first place prize money. I'm still not doing it.
Yeah,
I don't even think Phil has $10 million right now.
What if Phil said we got a classic Fire Fest scenario on our hands? Then what?
No, I'm not doing that.
Okay.
It's a major. Like, you might never win one again.
Oh, yeah.
You might not win that one. Right.
Especially if you're an amateur that just qualified for the U.S. Open, like.
Well, I'm saying I'm a professional golfer in this situation. I don't think any professional golfer would either.
Probably not.
I don't think so either.
No, they wouldn't.
So we gotta clarify this.
Only me.
The would you rather is would you rather have COVID or the shanks? But we have to clarify what we're meaning by this. So obviously, COVID's a big thing right now.
You gotta be our age.
You gotta be our age.
Guess all of our ages.
Yeah. Somewhere between 25 and 40. Maybe somewhere right in the middle of that. You get all the flu-like symptoms, a little bit of chest cough, like the milder symptoms. For 14 days, you have to quarantine by yourself. No family, anything around, just sitting in your house by yourself. Or the shanks for the same 14 days, and you're probably playing 5 rounds.
But not like shanking every single shot, just like once in
a while.
No,
they just like randomly show up.
You're hitting
up.
More
like,
shanks than you're hitting good shots, though.
I'm going to say
you're still maybe 15. Recovering from them.
What about 15 shots? 15 shanks around.
That's a lot.
That's enough to fuck with you.
You're taking
the COVID.
I want the virus.
Yeah. I want the virus. I want 19.
You wouldn't make 6 holes if you hit 5 shanks.
No. 5 rounds of it?
Yeah. You wouldn't finish 5
I might
rounds.
Quit golf for the rest of my life if that happened. Not just quit for now.
Imagine
that's
the
a very socially insensitive
do.
Comment that you just made there about taking the virus in this day and age. But
if I'm just having it for myself, I'm not spreading it to anyone else.
Yeah,
you
get it. It's almost like you're injected with it.
As long as I'm not spreading it to anyone else, I'll take it.
Yeah,
instead of the shanks.
It's a good point. Can you imagine the amount of damage he would do to a course in that scenario?
They'd have to close it for a point in time.
Yeah. That's the old me though.
Yeah.
That was 2019,
like one of those videos or the aftermath of a guy that took like a quad out to a
nothing gives me more joy in the world than tagging Brunel in those pictures. Hey, is this you? And it's just a torn up green somewhere.
I could just see the shading green grin on your face every time you post those. Just like,
it's exactly right. I'll tell you that you got it nailed perfectly because that's the exact face I'm making.
Yeah. Last one before we get into the Jared Dutoit interview. A lot of these coming out similar, I guess. If you could make a golf hole in or around your house, draw it out for the people.
Mine's just a 30-yard par 2 flop over the house.
Oh, over the house?
Yeah, got to flop it over. Yeah.
With a real golf ball? Or are you using like a whiff? Like a
real golf ball.
No cowards allowed.
You got shank. A shank there breaks a window.
Yeah, straight skull right into her. Yeah.
But I like that. That'd make you a better golfer in a hurry.
That also reminded me of that Connor sketch this week of Paddy Harrington.
Yeah.
Probably the best thing on Twitter I've seen ever, maybe.
It might be one of the
best
ones.
Find that tweet.
Find that tweet.
Hitting those shots and breaking windows.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's like his second, the post he made where they were singing Imagine was his best tweet ever.
Oh. Okay, but yeah, that was very good.
Yeah. That was good, yeah. Connor sketches, he's on a heater right now.
Mm-hmm.
He's had a lot of good ones.
What's your hole, Harv?
I think I'm keeping it simple. I'm probably just making like a green in my backyard. Like I have a sandbox already, so there's the bunker. And then I'm just making a green kind of by the sandbox. And then I just have like a little pitch and putt area in my backyard. Like it's like a, I don't know, probably 40-yard 30-yard pitch shot across the whole thing.
Oh, wow. That's all
right. Maybe 25, 30, but, and then the sandbox right there for sand shots. I might do that anyways, just cut her down to the roots. And
If I had my choice, I would probably, I really like that flop over the house now. It's almost changed my mind. But I actually think I would commit to trying to do one of these trick shots. I think I don't know what it would be. I do like the ones. I got a two-story house, so I wouldn't mind starting on the top floor, putting something in action, and letting it come all the way down into the studio here.
Yeah, that's not golf, though. Those are just like...
I know, just something to pass the time.
Yeah.
I know Harv loves them.
I cannot stand trick shots anymore. I hate them. And when people first started doing them, I think I said it on the pod, trick shots are so cool. It's the best thing to watch. Now, they make me want to puke watching them. Like, they're so stupid.
The in-house
They're not
ones.
Even trick shots anymore. It's just who has the most time on their hands. Like,
That's
what's,
true.
I think the next one, someone's going to hit it off like a brick or a cement pad, and they're going to catch it in their mouth, swallow it, and they're going to wait 2 days and shit it into a cup.
What?
That's the trick shot.
He's
off the rails.
Guy's on fire.
Well, didn't you see the one where the guy like hit it and then it went into like the ice machine of the fridge and then it came out the ice hole and then into a cup? Like,
no, that's awesome. That, no, I wish I would have saw that.
That's not awesome. It's just who has the most time on the hands.
But that being said, the CD one was awesome. Find that tweet.
Pretty cool.
The guy hitting it into the fan with a cup on it. Decent.
Time on his hands. Yeah.
Time on his hands for sure. What were some other good ones? Oh, the guy hitting the toilet paper roll onto the bottle today. That one was pretty good. But you're right. They're not, it's not anything.
I'd rather see the ones where they like juggle the ball and they're like deading in it and then they're putting it up on the back of the wedge and they're flipping it around and doing that. Like,
I can show you that whenever you want.
Anytime.
I do enjoy the ones outside better. But like that guy that hit that chip and then threw his club in and into his bag and then hit the head of the club as it went into the bag and then went into the hole. Like,
yeah,
that one was
like,
sweet.
Again, that's too much time on forever, but
yeah. I would watch like a trick shot competition, like an NBA dunk contest where you get like 30 seconds to do the best one you can and then you just get judged.
See, that's better.
But I don't think any of them are getting done because then you then
well, you got to dumb it down a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah, you lifted the curtain on it and it's not... Oh, I've did this for 3 days and finally got one.
But that's what make it good. You've dumbed it back down to like juggling and like.
Plus, you got to have like four or five in your repertoire. You can't just have your go-to, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. You miss the big showstopper the first time, then maybe you go back to like just the dumbed down reverse dunk, right?
That's right. Yeah. The old throw it up in the air that works every time.
Just
360, whatever.
That reminds me. Did you see that? I think it was the. It was in Asia, I think, a dunk contest, and I can't remember who was in it. Jesus Sucre, was that his name? Sucre,
yep.
Yeah. And he was just doing like regular just dunks,
yeah,
like just running up and just a dunk. That's what I could see it being. Is like a guy at the end of the day, he's just like, I need to post a score. I'm just gonna juggle on my wedge for a minute.
Yeah, that's way better than these ones where these elaborate. Dominoes things that they're chipping and ricocheting off 50 cement plates and then it goes around. Like, that took you 5 days. Like, it's not that impressive anymore.
Yeah.
So is that good for the rant or
the real rant ended after
we
the shit into a cup, but
did go off the rails, yeah. All right, it's time to get into the Jared Dutois interview. Big thanks to Jared for joining the boys. Hope everyone enjoys. We'll be back after to recap around the world in news and get to the SAS Civil War update. Hope you enjoy. Matty B with Drive the Green here with Harv and Bronell. On today's show, we have the Pride hailing from Kimberley, BC via Arizona State University, via the University of Idaho, via Calgary, Alberta, Canada. Jared Dutois, how are you doing today?
Not too bad, guys. Thanks for having me on. Excited to join the pod here.
Yes, well, thank you very much. I know it's been kind of a hectic last few days in the world, and especially in your life. Obviously, we're going to get into the 59 that you just shot on the Outlaw Tour in Arizona, but pretty much right after that happened, you made the decision to come back to Canada. I think the news from Trudeau happened pretty much the next day, and so just give us your thoughts on this past week and the whirlwind, I'm sure, that your life is going through right now.
Yeah, I know, it's crazy. I mean, if you would have talked to me about a week ago, I'd have no idea, you know, like about kind of any of this. I mean, I would have been happily in Arizona, just kind of doing my thing, practicing, playing, and doing all that. But yeah, fast forward a week, I guess, and yeah, threw a little 59 down, and you know, 24-hour drive back home too. So it was a bit of a whirlwind, but you know, I think I did the right thing.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, obviously you said you drove. What's that drive like? How many hours are you putting in on the road? How long did it take you?
You know, I've done it. My dad and I actually did it in one time. It's just under 24 hours, and we just kind of drove through the night once, just kind of alternating. But usually, yeah, it's like, you know, 2 12-hour days or something like that. You know, this time we actually took it slower because, you know, we weren't really in a rush to get back to quarantine, so we kind of spent a night in Utah and then a night in Montana. So, but yeah, back safe and all good, so no complaints.
Were the roads busy at all, or were you just kind of letting the vehicle wander because you knew no one else was out there?
Yeah, I mean, it was, nobody was really out there. It was kind of weird to see because, like, you know, once you kind of got on the, you know, the big interstates and whatever, like, it seemed like every second car, maybe even 2/3 of the cars were Canadian, you know, license plates, just packed with,
right,
you know, their life stuff, right? Because everyone's kind of thinking the same thing, you know, get back home and, you know, worry about this whole thing back home rather than the international country, I guess. So,
get that free healthcare.
Yeah, everyone was, I guess, thinking the same thing as me.
Yeah. And those are the times where you get to play Pac-Man on the center line, just gobbling up those hash marks.
Yeah,
you got all the room in the world. So, I mean, now that you're back, obviously we're starting to get a little bit more up here as compared to the United States, where we're pretty much on lockdown. What are you going to do with your time? Are you trying to fit in some practice, or are you just kind of sitting around at home waiting to see what happens?
Yeah, I mean, I really have no idea. I mean, I don't really know how seriously kind of people are taking this whole quarantine thing. So I don't know if I'm going to be locked up for, you know, 2 weeks. But, you know, basically where my parents live now and where I'm staying is like a 2-minute walk from this building that I can hit balls in. I mean, it's just like a net and there's a putting green. So, you know, I'm sure I'll probably spend a couple hours a day there, you know, just to have something to do and kind of get moving around. But I mean, for the most part, it's going to be like, you know, Netflix, maybe a couple books, you know, to keep the parents happy and stuff like that. But yeah, for the most part, I mean, I'm kind of in the same boat as everybody with nothing really to do, I guess, and going to be a bit of a struggle filling the days. So.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Well, what kind of books are we talking here? Like, what are you into for reading?
Well, you know, I kind of do it all. I actually listen to this podcast. It's on the golf podcast. It's called Earn Your Edge. It's Cam McCormick. And I don't know if you guys have heard it, but it's kind of like pretty informative just on like, I don't know. They kind of have all these guests on. They had this guy, Ryan Holiday, and he's had a couple books. So Christmas, I bought like 2 or 3 of his books, and they're really good. And I've been kind of getting into them. But yeah, I'm not much of a reader, so I have to be pretty interested in the topic to I guess, you know,
to get into it. Yeah, for sure. So obviously, talking with other guys, have you reached out to them? Obviously, we talk a lot on this pod about the mini tours and the Mackenzie Tour and Korn Ferry and these guys that are having, you know, it's a grind and guys need these tournaments to make a living. Have you kind of reached out to some of your peers just to see what they're doing and how it's affecting life? Or like a lot of these guys are probably moving home, hey?
Yeah, no, a lot of them are. I mean, you know, like I said a week ago, actually, I guess I didn't say it, but yeah, like I was talking to some buddies and, you know, they were, a lot of them were like, no, we'll just stay here. I mean, worst case, we'll just kind of stay inside. But, you know, I think that kind of changed, you know, when things were kind of getting worse. And, you know, I was even one of the guys saying, oh, yeah, you know, worst case scenario, I get the virus and I'll just stay in Arizona. And I'd rather be in Arizona than here. But then I kind of realized my medical insurance was a little makeshift. So I kind of, you know, changed my plans a little bit. But yeah, I think a lot of guys are kind of in the same boat. Like they, you know, they, it obviously sucks that we can't play. And I mean, for me and, you know, a lot of the guys, like, kind of a bulk of the season was coming up, either with China or Latin America and the web.com, like all that stuff kind of finally getting going. So everyone's obviously bummed out, but I guess as golfers, you know, we don't have it as bad as nearly a lot of the people in the world. So I think everyone's kind of looking at it that way a little bit. You know, with a grain of salt, I guess.
Yeah, for sure. Obviously, now your season being a little bit in limbo. You were on Mackenzie Tour last year and heading onto the Latino Tour this year. What did your year look like? And now with the sense of uncertainty, when were you planning on starting? And were you planning on playing as many events as you possibly could?
Yeah. So Latin America was. You know, we completed 1 week in Latin America, it was in Mexico, and then we had like 2 weeks off before, like, basically, I think it was four in a row in a 5 week stretch down in Argentina and Chile. So, you know, all of us kind of had all our flights booked, our accommodation booked, and everything for those. Cause, I mean, that's, you know, it's kind of the bulk of our season,
right?
You know, this stretch coming up. So, you know, that was the plan, and, you know, you know, because the way Latin America and Canada worked, they kind of offset a little bit. So I was going to play some Canadian events as well, but, you know, nobody really knows what's happening up there either. So,
right.
Yeah, a lot of guys are just confused with what they're doing. And, you know, obviously I'm in the same boat.
Yeah. So how did that lead into playing in this outlaw event? We were kind of discussing it. Obviously our good friend at Monday Qualifier follows the mini tours a little bit more than we do, but just give us an idea of how you got into that event. Was it just to kind of kill some time with you know, the Latin America tour not happening right now? Like, how did that happen? And then let's get into the 59 talk.
Yeah. So, you know, they have events kind of all over the year, all over kind of Arizona. And I mean, it's very kind of Phoenix based tour. And obviously there's a lot of kind of professional guys in the Phoenix area that are, you know, either coming up or already up and whatever. So, the guy who runs the tour, I think kind of saw this whole coronavirus as an opportunity. I guess that's kind of a bad way of saying it, but,
right.
You know, he kind of looked at it as, hey, there's like, you know, a lot of guys that don't have work right now, and there's a lot of open golf courses in the area, might as well run some events and, you know, keep golf guys at least playing. Cause I mean, realistically, golf's kind of a, you know, a very limited contact sport. You know, there's no real, you know, real close contact if you kind of take the right precautions. And, you know, the mini tour scene isn't exactly booming with fans either. So, you know, you don't really have to worry about that, but, yeah, I don't know. He kind of did that, and he actually added events kind of when this virus was going. So there was kind of a full schedule, like basically an event a week,
right.
Kind of planned. And actually, we just got an email today that they canceled some of the events because, like, I guess they raised the cups at the course that they were going to host it at.
And,
like,
oh, jeez.
You can't host an event with raised cups. I mean,
all the course records.
Trading blows, you know, thinking it hit the cup or it didn't. So, it was a weird way, I guess, to cancel the event. But
yeah, I'm surprised they didn't go the pool noodle route. That's not a bad one.
It's pretty good.
It's not a bad one.
Yeah.
So my question with this is, how do you get into one of those events? Is it something that is just like a group text and the first people who show up, or is it you have to be qualified somehow? Or my ignorance, but
yeah, you know, a lot of people ask. Yeah, there's no Q school for the Outlaw Tour, if you're wondering. But no, they have, you know, there's like a member, you know, you can pay for a membership. I want to say it's like $400 or $500 or something like that and get you whatever. But if you're a non-member, you know, your entry fee is just a little more. But yeah, it's kind of organized gambling. You know, everyone throws in between, you know, $750 to $1,000, depending on the event.
Right.
You know, the guy kind of pays out his green fees and, you know, he takes his cut and whatever. And then you kind of play for it. You know, I think top 33%, you know, are kind of guaranteed their money back. But yeah, it's just kind of like organized gambling is the best way I can describe it.
That sounds fun.
Yeah.
It does.
I mean, that ain't bad.
So
obviously that event, you're a little, you know, starting the final round a little bit deep in the field. And then next thing you know, you got a 30 on the front. At what point, During that round, did you think, obviously par 70, did you think that 59 was possible, or was it just kind of, you know, put your head down and what happens, happens?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I wasn't really thinking a whole lot. The guy I was playing with, his name's Brandon Harkins, and he's, you know, he's a former PGA Tour player. I think he's on the web.com tour this year. And, you know, I shot 30, like thinking it was pretty good. And I think he was like 28 with like a couple missed putts. So I was like, oh, like, what is going
We're
on?
Scoring.
And, so yeah, like I was just like, basically kind of my goal was to kind of keep up with him. And, you know, I was kind of two back, I guess, most of the day. And then, you know, I kind of got two in a row on him. So all of a sudden we were like eight under, and then we both birdied, and so we were both at 10 under with two holes to play on a par 70. Yeah. And neither of us got 17, and then I hit one close on 18 and made it. And, you know, he hit like 30 feet and missed his. So, but yeah, it was weird. Like, I mean, I was kind of chasing all day, so I was kind of in that mindset of like, okay, birdie this hole. Like, it was one of those things, like, I wasn't really thinking about it until, you know, until basically like the last putt on 18. I was like, wow, this is for 59, like, kind of crazy, but.
Yeah, and then obviously you're in the clubhouse a little bit earlier, had to see the rest of the guys come in. Did you have a bit of an adrenaline dump there when you had to go back out and into a playoff? And then unfortunately, another Canuck took it down?
Yeah, a lot. You know, I kind of finished the round, and I was tired already because we had to finish round two that morning as well. So I had like seven holes in the morning. You know, at like a 7 a.m. shotgun, then I would sit around for like 2.5-3 hours and then go out and play again. So it was just kind of like, I was just, you know, after the round, obviously it's kind of like an emotional high. You know, I turned on my phone, started texting people, which I probably shouldn't have done. And yeah, I kind of got a little bit out of it. And then, yeah, when we found out it was like a 3-way playoff, I was like, oh, geez, all right, let's go out here. Let's, yeah, try and make birdie. And obviously the kids stopped it and made birdie. And yeah, kind of, I guess a little anticlimactic to the day, but all in all, still an unreal day. So
yeah, for sure. And so obviously you've been around in the pro ranks for a while here, and that's probably prepared you for that type of event. Now, one of the things that Canadians may recognize your name a little bit more from is the 2016 RBC Canadian Open. And just give us some thought. What did you finish? I think top 10, T9 that tournament?
Yeah, T9, yep.
So
yeah, I mean, it was that was a crazy week. That was kind of, I guess, my bit of my, I guess, coming out party as a player, you know, cuz as good as you can do in, I guess, amateur golf, like, you know, nobody really kind of pays attention, but as soon as you're kind of on the big stage, even if you're in the event, you know, there's kind of a bit of an aura to it. So yeah, that was, you know, it was kind of the highlight to my summer. I think it was the summer between my junior year and senior year at ASU. And, you know, I had a good summer, had a good, you know, spring kind of before that. So I was playing well, but I mean, obviously first PGA Tour event. And it was my second pro event. My first pro event was in Saskatoon and I missed the cut. So I was like, okay, let's just try and make the cut here kind of thing. And yeah, then obviously, you know, I was playing really well early, made the cut, and then it was kind of playing on the house's money there. And yeah, it was an unreal experience. And, you know, obviously one that I'm never going to forget.
Yeah, that was quite a memorable tournament too. Your college teammate, John Rahm, finished second, I think. And the old Steve Wheatcroft incident that we, former pod guest of ours too.
the bunker incident, yeah.
So
the bunker incident, yeah, it was yeah, I know, it was crazy. The thing about that year, because obviously John and I were on the same team that year, and I didn't beat him once all year. And you know, I threw it. I was playing in the final group, and, yep, you know, PGA Tour event, thinking I had him locked, and he just, you know, he kind of backdoored me on Sunday again. Yep. But yeah, I know he's obviously a hell of a player. You guys are obviously familiar with his name now. But yeah, no, that was an unreal week.
So speaking of John Rahm, what's he like as a guy? Like, he's got a bit of a reputation as a bit of a hothead out there. Is that accurate, or is that just maybe the pressure of the PGA Tour getting to him a little bit?
No, it's very accurate. Yeah, I mean, you know, if we're playing ping pong with the boys, like, you know, he runs hot. You know, we'll go we'll go bowling, like, you know, have a couple beers, some bowling. He doesn't really drink much, but, you know, just a very, like, light setting. And, you know, he wants to win. And, you know, if somebody's beating him, he's sour grapes all day. So, he runs hot. But, you know, he doesn't get a bad rap. Everyone kind of thinks, you know, he's like that all the time, which I guess he is. But he, you know, he takes care of his own, and, you know, he treats his friends great, obviously. And, you know, he's got a huge heart on him. So, but yeah, it's amazing how many people kind of ask, like, hey, what's he like? Like, is he like that? You know, can he ever turn it off? And, I guess short answer would be no, but, you know, if you get to know him, you know, he's awesome.
You find he's one of those guys, you find out what he's not very good at, and then you constantly challenge him to that just to get under his skin. Yeah.
Like bowling was that, you know, he wasn't, because obviously I don't think in Spain there's bowling at all. So he came over and I was just waxed him. he did not like it. But it was fun for sure. And, you know, he's a guy, like, he's so passionate. He's going to get better at anything he does, like, pretty quick. So I'm sure he, in his new house, he might even get a bowling alley so he can just tune me. But.
All right, well, we got rapid fire coming up soon here. Before we get into that, we did have a quiz. Would you guys want to touch on the Sask Golf? You mentioned Saskatoon. Obviously played Dakota Dunes. What were your thoughts on that? Is that the only course you played in Saskatchewan?
It's the only course I played in Saskatchewan, yeah. I liked it. I mean, it was, yeah, I really knew nothing about it. And, you know, coming from kind of, you know, Western Alberta, Eastern BC, I was like, oh, you know, Saskatchewan, like, you know, didn't really think much of it. And it was kind of my first time there. No offense. You know, I'm saying this.
Whoa. We're not very big.
Saskatoon was great. And, you know, the golf course was real nice too. I mean, they were, you know, kind of right on that casino there. Like, it was really well run. I was kind of disappointed that they didn't go back there.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, good things to say about Saskatoon and that event.
Awesome. All right. Well, before we get into rapid fire, like I mentioned, we got a little bit of a quiz prepared for you. Last year you made some news at the 1932 by Bateman Open in Edmonton yardage books. So I know you probably talked about this a lot, but we're going to beat this horse if you have. So we got a quiz prepared. Are these still your go-to numbers if you're out there?
Yeah, I mean,
or is it a one-time thing?
I try not. Because we always, you kind of, just as Canadian, at least a lot of me and, like, my buddies will kind of do it, like, you know, just for fun on, like, the major numbers. Like, if you get 187, like, it's obviously Sid and, like, stuff like that. But we were just, my caddy and I were kind of trying to, like, fill the gap. So there was, like, some obscure names in there that, you know, I'm not going to remember off.
Well, you know, we're about to find out.
Okay, geez. All right.
Bruno, you go first.
What was it, 64?
64, yeah.
That was a tough
one
to start.
That's a tough one. 64.
Was he number one overall?
Yes.
Number one overall Edmonton Oilers.
Oh, Nail Yakupov.
Yeah. You're going to have... I don't know if you're going to get this one, because I have no idea who this guy is. 78.
78. Oh, this is he's a buddy from Calgary, Tyler Lewington.
Told you. I told you.
Yeah, Bruno said he's got to be a buddy. Got to be a buddy. We have no idea who this guy is. And I'll go. You get the last one, Harv. Yeah. 24.
24. Is that's Bald Kobe, I believe.
That's Bald Kobe, Ken Griffey Jr. That's why I picked it. But Harv's got one, and he ain't happy about it.
What was your mindset when you picked number four?
What did we go with? We went with Tyson Berry. Yep. And the reason we did that is it was like, we were both like big Spit and Chicklet fans. I don't know if you guys know that, but just like all the time, like, you know, instead of going Jerome again, I think we went, Biz Nasty. So it was like, obviously there's a little kind of bias there, but we were trying to get a little love on social media, which ended up working, but there were some controversial picks there for sure.
Yeah, we thought there was a terrible chance you were a Leafs guy.
No.
Okay, you're still a friend of the pod then.
Or maybe he wasn't. I think he got traded that summer. So.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, so he was still an
athlete. And he wasn't 90. He wasn't 94 yet, I don't think, or whatever he is now.
Yeah.
I think you had Witt. You had Witt as 19 anyway, so that makes sense.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
yeah, yeah, it was something like that. Yeah.
I might have to change 41 to Brunel for next time because that's my legendary number.
If you're looking for a 41, Brunel lights up the Moose Jaw No Hit Hockey League. He's good for like 103 points in 34 games, something like that.
Something like that. Yeah.
So if you're redoing it, all right. With that, we want to get into the
move over Dirk. Yeah.
Let's go. All right. Let's get into rapid fire then. Harvey, you got the first one.
What's in your bag?
Mostly Titleist, basically everything Titleist, bulky wedges. I got a spider putter and I got a pink tree, but everything else is Titleist. You know, I think I got the T100 irons and, you know, TS2 driver, but, yeah, nothing crazy.
Who doesn't have a spider putter these days?
Yep. They're the best.
I don't, but
yeah, they're huge. Yeah. Yeah.
How many?
Oh, wait, is it the Spider X or the Tour or the Mini?
It's the red one. I think that's the Spider Tour.
Spider Tour, yeah. Same as mine. Yep, leaning up against the wall right now, in my view.
Love that.
How many career aces do you have?
I have 5 aces.
Oh wow! All casual or in competition?
I think 3 of them were in competition, and then 2 casual. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah. The in competition ones are super nice. Actually, I was just thinking about one the other day because I saw Morikawa, and there was this one where Morikawa and I were kind of fighting over this tournament, and he was up on me by like 3 or something like that, and I went hole in one, and he went double, and all of a sudden I was like leading. You know, after one hole, it was outrageous.
Wow.
But yeah, I don't know why I was just thinking about that. But yeah.
Did you hold on or?
No, he got me. He got me down the stretch, but it would have been a great story. But hey, whatever.
Ordinary. Still is 4-shot swing.
Still is a good story.
Do you think aliens exist?
I do not.
Okay.
Straight up answer.
Yeah.
What's the weirdest thing you've seen on a golf course? So this is like you got carte blanche on this thing. It's with buddies. It's in a tournament. It's something that you is stuck with you as I can't believe that happened. Whether it's hilarious, you don't have to name names, or just straight up weird.
Most outrageous thing I've seen on a golf course. Well, I mean, the Waste Management Open brings some interesting things. Like the one, I don't know if you guys saw the clip, but it was Mac Hughes putting out on 16, and this girl with just outrageously big breath, like, flashed him in front of the crowd. And,
yes, we did see that.
You know, he had to back off his putt, and he started laughing. Like, it was that's got to be up there.
That shit doesn't happen on the Outlaw Tour.
No, yeah, you're not getting any of that, but, Yeah, that's
got to
be it.
What kind of car do you drive?
Volkswagen GTI 2013, still holding strong.
Wow. Yeah, that's run forever. That's good for miles. Yeah, run forever.
Nice.
What's your favorite side game to play with the boys?
Ooh, I'm a big fan of the Nassau, and you know, cuz you can kind of press no matter what. But that's kind of boring. Wolfhammer's got to be up there if you get a good group going, like you know, guys that can make a lot of birdies. Like if you got, you know, 4 good players, that game's real fun, and it can get out of hand with some presses and whatnot. Yeah, that's got to be it.
Yeah, that's a typical favorite these days. Get that a lot.
Yeah.
Yep.
Hammer the hammers.
Yeah,
hammer the hammers. Yep.
So on your PGA Tour bio, it says your biggest thrill in life is hitting a long putt. What's the cutoff for that putt? Like, what's the length before you really feel it in your plums or whatever you want to call it?
I don't know. I don't know how old that is. I don't even remember saying that. But
they make. I think some of them they make up.
Yeah, hey, whatever. I you know, I'd say anything over like 20 feet, and you can kind of like see it tracking towards the hole, and then, you know, it kind of drips, and you just kind of black out and throw a massive fist bump. That's probably that's probably number one for me, over 20.
It's just that you don't know that you're doing it, but next thing you know, you look over and your left arm is like hip height as it's starting to go up as the ball's rolling in.
What's your favorite course in Canada to play?
Favorite course, Toronto Golf Club was sweet. I only played it once. It was unreal. I got out to play Cabot, and I don't know if you boys have been out there, but it's
yes. Thank you for bringing that up.
Spectacular. Yeah.
Never misses a chance.
Yeah, I never miss. I played it, I guess, two summers ago, and I only got to play Cliffs, though. Didn't get to play Lynx. But I bring it up to these guys bi-weekly, probably. But, yeah, did you play both while you were there?
It's so good. Yeah, I got to play both of them. We did. I mean, the Cliffs was, like, more scenic, and it was.
Yep.
It was spectacular, like, all the time. But the Lynx, at least everyone says, and I think I kind of agree with them, it's probably a better golf course.
Yeah.
But, yeah, less scenic and whatnot. But.
Yeah, I kind of got the same feel when I was out there, and frankly, I'm not the greatest golfer, but I didn't find it that difficult, Cliffs. It wasn't necessarily hard. It was just like, wow, every shot was a picture. And so it almost makes it hard because you're in shock the whole time.
Distracted by the
views. Distracted by
And like that one, what's that green, like 16, like that little cliffhanger, like there's not a lot of green there, you know, especially if, you know, you get a little wind, like, you could make like a 13 there if you had a tough wind or something like that. But, other than that, like, it's like, you know, every hole is pretty scoreable. And if you're driving it well, it's a lot of wedges.
Yeah, exactly, and then they reward you with whatever you shot on 16 with an easily drivable par 4 right after it.
So, totally.
For sure. What do we got here? Three left. I'll go first. If you could be reincarnated as any animal, what would you be?
Tiger.
A tiger?
Nice.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
Yeah, Tiger's a good one.
That's a good answer.
Yeah, just all right. I just started watching that Netflix thing, Tiger King.
Yeah.
I got to watch that.
But yeah, so I guess that's why it came to mind. But yeah. Who wouldn't want to be a tiger?
What episode are you on?
I just started one after the drive. So yeah, nice. Very early.
All right. Well, make sure you tweet at us when you finish it tomorrow, probably, and let us know what you thought.
How many eps are there?
7, I think.
Oh, wow.
Six, like, or seven.
Hour-long ones? Or?
40 minutes, I think.
Oh,
so.
Oh, nice.
Jared will be done. Like I say, he'll be done by supper tomorrow.
Yeah, I'll keep you guys posted.
Yeah. Yeah. So lots of pros right now are passing the time by playing golf the wrong hand. How do you think you would do playing left-handed?
Oh, I would be terrible. I am very unathletic and stuff like that. So if I broke 130, I think that'd be a hell of a day.
That's not bad.
That's a good goal. Yep.
Yeah.
Do you typically enlist a caddy when you're playing? Did you have one lined up for this year?
So the Latin Tour it's kind of like tough logistically, because it's not like you can, I mean, you could, but like it'd be really expensive to kind of bring a guy, you know, that you're comfortable with, you know, because those flights aren't cheap, and you know, everything down there is not really cheap, but then, you know, there's these local caddies like every week that, you know, offer to have you and whatever, and I think, you know, standard rates like $50 a day, it's not crazy, and you know, for them, I think it's pretty good money, like, you know, $50 USD or whatever. But I don't know. I mean, it's just like I've heard so many nightmares down there, and I've kind of had some bad experience with like some of the local guys. And I'm kind of like, you know, if I didn't have to have a guy, you know, I'm fine with kind of carrying my own bag. So
fair enough.
You know, that'd be my thing, I guess. Just kind of carry the bag. You know, unless I had a guy that was comfortable, and you know, like I said, I wasn't gonna, you know, pay whatever to bring a guy down every week.
I like where this is going.
Let me float this idea by you. I'm sure you've listened to all our podcasts and know that I'm trying to get in the caddy game. So maybe not like this year with all this wild stuff, but if you need a caddy, I can carry a bag.
What if he paid his own way?
whoa. Hey,
baby steps.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, you pay your way down, and then if you do well, then Jared will pick up the tab for the way home.
I could live with that.
Well, I could get behind that too. I mean, honestly, like there's some events that are like super cool. So I had a couple buddies that were going to be like, hey, you know, we'll come down kind of as a vacation, you know, and I'll just screw off for Monday, Wednesday, and then I'll be there like exactly. Thursday through Sunday. I'm like, no, that's kind of like a good idea, but I don't know. I mean, it's just. It's tough, but yeah, I'll keep that in mind if the tour ever gets going again.
Yeah, in the back pocket. All right, last one to finish off here. Are you a Coke or a Pepsi guy?
Gotta be Coke. Gotta be Coke.
Shit.
He's a hole in one guy. So am I. A Cabot guy. So am I. But then he had to go and ruin the trifecta by being Coke. I'm a Pepsi guy. So two out of three ain't bad. All right, Jared.
Coke guy.
Well,
2 out of 3, good number.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's all we got for you. So we really appreciate you joining the boys. Lots of fun. Great catching up with you. And hope everything kind of settles down here. Hopefully, we don't know what's kind of. It's a little bit of a unknown situation. Hopefully, the season isn't done, so you can get back out there and we can see you play. So thanks again for joining us.
Yeah, appreciate you guys having me on, and you know, hopefully the golf season close in Moose Jaw.
Yeah, whacked a few balls for the first time this year today. It was a plus 11 Celsius, so finally got out. So, all right, thanks again.
That's shorts weather, isn't it?
Well, yeah. I had no socks on.
Van Ruyen.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, Jared. Hell of a guy that Jared Dutoit. Quick recap on that interview. I mean, he had some good stuff. Yeah, he's happy to get home, and obviously a little bit of uncertainty with the rest of his season. So hopefully he can get down to the Latino tour or Latin America tour. So Harv can maybe.
You're telling me there's a chance.
He didn't say no, and you only have to pay for one way. And if you do well enough, he's going to pay your way home. Like that's a win-win.
It's not a if I do I well mean, enough.
Yeah.
How long am I going to stay on the bag down there with the family back home? Yeah, I mean, this is the real question.
It's going to be tough. It's a tough sell just for your wife and children, for sure.
I can see him being...
Why would they care if I just get to go party for like a month in South America?
You're working.
Well, my wife already gives me a hard time about all these trips, work trips I take. Oh, wait, what were you doing? Oh, you went to a basketball game? Yeah, it was work. Like, I was working at the basketball game.
It's called schmoozing.
Yeah. Well, you went to Topgolf? Yeah, I was working. Like,
I was meeting. I was meeting. What was that guy's name?
Gilbert.
Gilbert, Facebook friend.
Yeah. I was going to say that I can see Jared coming on again.
Yep,
for sure.
I'm excited to see what if the McKenzie tour fires back up where he plays, and we'll get him
back on to hear his weirdest moment that actually happened to him.
Well, just he has to come back on because you idiots forgot to ask him about his ultimate foursome.
Yeah, that was a big blunder. Big old blunder. All right, let's get into the news, and then we'll wrap this baby up.
Okay, news. So am I cutting some of these? Or
yeah, all of them.
Okay, let's start with this one. Two tours, PGA Tour, LPGA Tour, both had their commissioners in the news this past week. Mm-hmm. And one looked like he was trying to save face, Jay Monahan from the PGA Tour.
Yep.
While the LPGA commissioner is just electric. Like, that guy... Like, that was passion. That was...
Yeah, what was it? Like, a 2.5 minute video or 220 for
just
Twitter?
Just explaining, like, how excited he is about the LPGA and all the stuff they're doing. Like,
yeah.
That guy might be the best commissioner in all of sports.
Yeah, he not wanted hard, them. He's like, we want to get back out here, but we have to focus on, you know, getting everyone healthy so that everyone can get back out here. And just
and
like,
he sounded like he meant it.
Yeah, where it didn't look like he was reading. Like, it was, like, actually from the heart. He didn't even read it off a card or anything like that.
Yeah. Like that was awesome. Speech. Meanwhile, PGA Tour commissioner comes out trying to look like a hero, saying he's not going to take a paycheck.
Do you think that's enough? Do you think it's enough to say, hey, I'm not taking a paycheck to make everyone forget about the absolute disaster of that was the players?
No, it's not.
I don't think so.
I mean, I don't think the players was that big of a disaster, but lots of people do. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, it just looked like, okay, buddy, thanks for donating your whatever.
I'm still actually amazed. It's amazing, though, that happened over a week ago, and people were still partying this past weekend in Florida. It was like they canceled that golf tournament a week ago and people are still at the beach partying 100,000 strong. So it's like on one hand, you're like, well, they should have, like, if everyone's still going to do that, they should have just played the tournament.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, it's like they canceled the tournament. Why are these people still out there on spring break? But
you ain't canceling spring break. Like, that just ain't happening.
It's like Contagion and Thanksgiving. And so in the Contagion movie, it was Thanksgiving, American Thanksgiving, and they couldn't, everyone was spreading it because it was a holiday, and then they all went home, and it just spread everywhere. It's exactly what happened, and now all these people are getting sick in Florida. And
yeah, I didn't like that movie that much.
It had an abrupt end. It
took me 3 nights to watch it. I kept falling asleep.
Yeah, it was just like
if I fall asleep once, it doesn't get a second chance.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like The Wire, fell asleep first episode, doesn't get a second chance.
Oh, there's going to be a lot of people that disagree with that.
I don't think I can watch a movie straight through anymore. I'm always a two-nighter, at least.
Speaking of idiots.
And this guy gives me a hard time about being old.
That makes zero sense. If it's a two-nighter, then it's a good movie. If it's a three-nighter, it stinks.
I don't even start movies without the intention of finishing them.
Even if they suck.
Yes.
If I fall asleep, that means they really suck.
Now, that being said, it does take me a long time to watch a movie because typically I will do the math. It's like, I know that movie's an hour and 46 minutes. If it's not done by X time, depending on if it's a weekday or a weekend, I'm not even going to start it because I don't want to finish it
at
midnight.
You're a hard bedtime guy.
Oh, yeah. I'm a hard bedtime guy, yeah.
Big time.
Okay. Moving on. Anna Norquist, who is a two-time major winner on the LPGA Tour,
yes,
decided to go play the only event she could this past week on the Cactus Tour and just beat the wheels off everyone.
Well, how much did she win by?
I don't know, a lot.
Tons.
He knows she beat the wheels off. He doesn't know how
many. Maybe she won by one. I don't know, but could you imagine, like, you're a... Maybe it was a playoff. I'm not exactly sure. But could you imagine if you're like a outlaw tour or one of these mini tour players and all of a sudden you're like, oh, I'm paired with Rory McIlroy today. Like, what's going on here? Like Jared Dutois said, they all pitch in their money. It's just basically organized gambling. And then you got...
Look at your tee sheet. Oh,
Rory.
Yeah. He paid $1,000. And then you got the guys that are pissed off. They're like... He doesn't need any more money. Like, if you want to practice, just go play with your buddies and pay for their rounds.
Yeah, exactly.
Throw your $1,000 here.
Pay us all a bunch of money, and then we'll try and beat you.
Yeah, you pay us, and you're allowed to stay.
It'd be even funnier though if he like had like a fake name, like it was just like Dory McIlroy or something. Just trying to hide it, and then you see him on the first tee. He's got a fake mustache.
I was thinking he was going to go with, like, Ken Chambers or something, not, like, the actual...
A rhymed name.
Dory.
Whatever.
Yeah. All right.
Brooks Koepka, another guy trying to save face, donated $100,000 to some charity.
Yeah. When he did the left-handed swing thing, it was, okay, fun-loving Brooks. He's kind of a fun guy, but...
That made me hate him even more.
Yeah.
He's better left-handed than I am, and I'm a lefty.
Yeah, well, that's... And then this $100,000, it's like, pick a persona.
Exactly. If you're going to be the too cool for school guy, don't go donating money publicly. Like, you can donate money.
Yeah.
You don't have to post it for praise.
You don't see Patrick Reed doing it.
Yeah, so, maybe he's in the behind the scenes.
Behind the scenes, though.
Mm. He's got an image job keeping. He ain't messing with that. Yeah, he knows his role.
I agree
where
with
he fits. Well, here's a good one. Latino tour player Victor Lange from South Africa is the only golfer so far to get coronavirus.
What's COVID-19. Good about it? Why'd you say it's a good one?
Well, it's important. He's also left-handed, so there might be a correlation there.
100%. It's a fact that left-handed golfers are more likely to get COVID-19.
100%
of them. Your immune systems or what?
Well, it's 100% so far. 100%.
You
so
screwed
more likely. There's 0% right-handed with COVID and 100% with left. Yeah. It's a correlation.
Yeah. Numbers guy.
Next.
Brad Faxon, who saved his childhood golf course
mm-hmm.
from bankruptcy, is now being sued by that exact golf course.
For?
Well, here's what happened. They were in a boatload of trouble, weren't getting members, weren't getting people playing. Mm-hmm. Faxon came in with a part of a group, bought the course, introduced all this new fun, like member for a day stuff.
Okay.
And all that stuff. And now the membership wasn't increasing because who would buy a membership when they could just go play it for a day if they wanted to?
Right.
So sales and tee times are still going down. So now Faxon is saying, well, someone else wants to come in and buy this and do developments and change the whole course around. And now all the members are now rallying, saying he's breaking his contract with them, even though it was never stated that he had to keep it in forever.
Wow.
And it's just a whole big mess where he's not really in the wrong, but
so now they're suing him so that they can keep it open.
And the same way it is.
Yeah.
Without just basically, they were just basically hoping he was just going to keep funneling money into this thing so they could just have their country club.
Yeah.
And he's looking at it as an investment and trying to make money off his investment. Yeah. And they're now suing him because they think...
And the new people are probably trying to revert it back to the old way of...
Well, they want to build houses and probably change some holes and completely redevelop into something that they can make money on.
Ridiculous.
Yeah. I don't think he's losing this lawsuit.
Yeah. Well, he shouldn't.
Based on what you've said anyways.
A classic... No, I was going to say Robin Hood scenario, but I don't think that plays here.
Nah, just don't bother with anything.
Next. We'll leave that one. Golf Town is closing all their physical stores as of March 31st for the coronavirus.
Yeah. Temporarily closing.
I don't know if it's going to be temporarily.
You don't think so?
Like, those stores got to lose them money.
Well, you'd think so.
Like, there's what, like 5 workers in there every day, and there's what, maybe like 4 customers a day, maybe.
Yeah, well, I think it's some of it's for club fittings, and that's about it. Yeah,
yeah.
I buy quite a bit there. I got, I think, $200.
I hate going to those stores when you're just like.
Well, they're massive stores. They cost a lot to heat, a lot to
absolutely, you know, and they're always overhead, in like big box store areas. Like, it's not like they're paying cheap rent anywhere.
Mm-mm.
But like, I hate going in there, and you got some guy who looks like he's not a very good golfer. Not that I'm saying I'm great, coming up to be like, hey, can I help you with anything here, sir? Like, no, I've looked at what I need.
Have you ever thought about doing this? When they come up to ask you if they can help you, just be like, yep, you can help me. But first, I want to see you take a few swings. And then you can tell me if you can help. Just like, okay, you hit a few first, and then I'll tell you if you can help me or not.
Yeah, I want to try this club out. You first.
Yeah, you first. Just straight off the side of the sim. Like,
well, even
you know, I'm fine.
Even when I bought my new Mizuno wedges, I went in there, and like, I've always been like, I had Vokis before that, and I was just had my heart set on Mizunos to keep the set all the same.
Yeah.
And I had done research on them and whatnot, and then I asked the guy, I'm like, so what's the difference between these and Vokis? Like, is there any, like, what should I expect?
Made by
here?
A different company.
And he's just like, just stared at me, and I was like, okay, well, I guess I'll go to the till now.
Sold. Yeah. Sold. He did his job.
What's your commission number?
Yeah, it was. But yeah, I don't know if they'll open again. Like, their online store's not going to hurt. Everyone knows.
Yeah, it's the unknown impact of everyone going to work from home and all this stuff is how many operations are going to find out that they can still get their jobs done in this scenario.
Lots.
And I think lots will, but at the same time, online retail might still get hurt a little bit. Like, the amount that they do in physical stores is probably enough to keep the store open, and the online store subsidizes the storefront. Yeah, and maybe. So it's like, you still have to have that. There's enough revenue being generated, but some of these generated.
Jesus.
But like, the company I work for, we're in an office, and now we're all working from home. I don't think there's that much decrease in efficiency just yet.
Nope.
So
I don't think
some,
so either.
Some are actually going to see, well,
maybe, I think the biggest thing it's going to come down to is if the boss trusts the employees to be at home.
Yep. That's all it comes down to. And that's why every job isn't like that for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Tiger Woods apparently replaces his wedges after every single round.
What does he do with all of them?
I bet you they just go back to TaylorMade and they sell them.
Yeah, good point.
Because like,
I thought maybe he just like kept them or gave them away or something, but yeah, maybe he might just send them back.
Because, yeah, like he says, it's because it's just he just wants to look down at it and know it's crisp and it doesn't have any scuffs on it. And it's just like a look good, feel good.
NHL players use 2 or 3 sticks a game usually. So,
yep.
Same thing.
I guess. But it's not the same thing because most pros love their wedges and keep them as long as they can because they get used to them.
NHL, everyone does it, whereas here it's just him. Probably some other guys too.
But it'd be weirder if he was doing it with the putter every round, but it's still pretty weird with wedges.
Yeah.
I'll give you that.
Yeah, like I can't get rid of my baby.
Yeah.
Never going to get rid of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's the list. Good job, Hart.
Oh, well, one more. Big one. PGA Tour canceled all their events through May 10th.
May 10th, we're getting closer and closer to RBC Canadian Open. We're a month away now.
The next wave will include that one.
I think so.
Yeah, if that happens.
I think there's one more wave.
Well, I guess with the states, yeah. Because the
this was, they canceled
the, the states is screwing everything up.
Yeah.
Yeah. The it was May 10th before the, like, they're not even done. They haven't flattened any curve yet.
Oh, no.
This thing getting
steep. She's spiking.
Just play every event in like Iowa and Idaho and Wyoming where there's like
Wyoming
no one.
For sure. Yeah.
Well, that place doesn't even exist. So
yeah, there might not be.
How
a
do
goal.
You find it?
Yeah, exactly.
Where are we going?
Yeah, that's the news. That's the biggest thing. But yeah, I agree. There's probably one more wave. Hopefully, it's just the end of May and not to the end of June. But
yeah, it's unsettling times for the boys, especially us. That I mean. Silver lining here, if we can't go to the RBC Canadian Open, maybe we can sell it on the home front that we'll go to a different tournament later on.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see. We'll see.
That's true.
Got it in the budget, so we got to go somewhere. The so Masters. We'll just see what happens. All right. To wrap things up here, for those that follow us on social media that are from Saskatchewan, if you're not from Saskatchewan, you still follow us, you can still vote. You don't have to see. Yeah.
Pick,
we post
look at the
pictures.
Pictures.
We post
the picture
pictures
and pick your favorite one.
Yeah. Research the courses.
Yeah.
Look them up.
Yep. So we did a Saskatchewan Golf Course Civil War, North versus South. We're working through the first round with a daily matchup, and Bruno's going to give you the quick first, I guess, 7 matchups.
Yeah, like we're probably only about a third of the way through the first round, which is crazy. It seems like this has been going on forever, but that's like
pros
everything
and cons.
Right now. Everything right now is just like...
Just moving at a snail's pace.
Yeah.
Yep.
So... Riverside took care of business over the Willows.
No doy.
North Battleford kind of upset Moon Lake in the 9-8 matchup.
I don't think that's an upset.
So those two are playing each other next round. Should be pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
NB's got a chance. The Dunes beat the Legends. And currently Evergreen's rolling Greenwater.
Yeah, rolling so Greenwater.
That'll be a good matchup.
There's going to be some Evergreens. Good. The second round is filled with some stellar matchups.
And then in the south portion, we got Deer Valley beating Tor Hill. Tor Hill put up a pretty good fight there.
Which and I was shocked at.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Sageview, Riverhurst beat out Willow Bunch in a close one.
Yeah, that's the closest matchup so far, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, eight, and White Bear won over
White
Saskatchewan.
Bear. So tomorrow, Kenosi-Katepwa to round out the top section of the entire bracket.
Yeah,
that's going to be a battle, and then depending on what happens, Katepwa White Bear will be interesting, but it could be Kenosi White Bear side by side courses in the second round, which would be very interesting to see.
We got a couple other pretty solid matchups too coming up: Saskatoon GCC against Cook, and probably the other highlight one would be Estevan against Elmwood.
Yeah, there's some good ones. So stay tuned for that. We'll recap next week. And then once we get in the semis, then the votes start to really
I noticed you left cast. Out Silverwood probably beating the wheels off Holiday Park. But
yeah. However, big Silverwood guy. We got some clap back on.
It's a great course, but it's a par 3.
Yep. I don't mind it.
That don't matter.
Sorry.
18 chances at a hole-in-one.
He's not wrong there, too.
Make a good point there.
All right, that wraps it up for episode 106. We'll be back next week, 107.
Maybe.
That's how it works.
Probably.
Yeah, we'll see what...
We'll get an interview, or everyone will get to meet Bruno.
Yep.
All right.
It might be a shorter pod if we don't have an interview, but you never know what's going to happen a week from now. So until then, it's time for us to hit the clubhouse.
don't check up. Swinging short lecture, closing down the sector. Supreme neck protector. Better want him, kid, Mr. Messer. Falling pop, about to blow his lid from the pressure. Too hot for TV, for cheesy. Too many wanna be hard, be easy. It's all in together, going all out together. It don't take much to please me. Still homes, I'm never satisfied like the stones. We joking, don't fight and see them selling crossbones. Protecting what I'm writing. Don't clash with the titan who blast with a license to kill rap recitants. Come on.